Hello everyone, my name is Gerald Tan, and with me here we have Nat Fatovero, and together we are the hosts of CNA's Work It podcast. So today our recording is a little bit different. We are not in our usual recording studio because we are coming to you live from Suntec City Convention Center for Career Forward 2026.
That's right, Gerald, and this is also going out live on CNA's YouTube and TikTok. So for all of you who are tuning in online right now, if you want to ask any questions of myself, Gerald, or any of our guests, just pump it into the comment sections wherever you're listening from. And for everybody here, you can scan a QR code that will appear right behind me, and you can pump in your questions there as well. You can also upvote some of the questions that you relate to if you want those to be answered. I believe it's up on screen right now. So I want to do a little bit of a litmus check before we get started with today's topic of turning bad interviews into a job offer. How many of you here right now have been to an interview in, let's say, the past 3 months? Show of hands, who's been to an interview in the past 3 months? I see a few hands. Some people nodding. Okay. Now, I want to know who here finds that interviews are scary. Yeah, a lot more people. I'm seeing some hands from my colleagues as well, which I don't know whether to worry about, but aside from that, we are going to break down what really happens in an interview, because you can mess up, right? It is something that's human. It's something that happens to all of us. But you need to know it's not game over just yet. Right, Gerald?
For sure, for sure. So today we want to be talking about smart moves that can help you save, you know, that job offer in case you feel like you didn't quite make that good impression. And to help us break this down, we've got two guests here with us. I can't wait to introduce them. First of all, we have Angel Killian. She is the founder of a career consultancy, and she has helped many professionals get hired. Welcome, Angel.
Thank you so much, Gerald. Looking forward to speaking with you all.
All right, great. And on the other guest we have here is Joanne Lau. She's a young digital creator and an entrepreneur who has herself survived a bad interview before. So welcome, Joanne.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Welcome to you both. Now, Joanne, I want to start with you because probably like a lot of people here, I'm wondering, what was this experience that you had in which you had a bad interview and you managed to turn around? How about you tell us that story?
Okay, so when I was graduating, so I actually took an interview with a tech company that I wanted to joined basically as a business analyst. So during that time, I was doing the interview like smoothly and everything was sort of within what I had planned for. But towards the last segment, they actually gave me a bunch of questions for coding, and that was something that I wasn't too prepared for. Oh. So for context, in my business degree, I actually did study these database questions and these languages. But then at that point in time, I just didn't think that he would ask me such an advanced question. So I just panicked and I was like, oh no.
Well, we've all been there, right, Gerald? I've been there myself.
Yeah, I think it's very normal to feel that nerves. But, you know, seeing the questions that you plan for not come up, I'm sure there's a bunch of nerves, right? Angel, I want to turn the question over to you. You help so many people prepare for interviews, especially maybe technical interviews. So how common is it for people to mess it up?
Yeah, actually, contrary to your popular belief, this is actually very, very common. Like, I've been there myself.
Okay.
And as much as I teach people how to interview, it's something that it was almost so close for me whether I got the role or not. So exactly like what Joanne went through, I thought, you know, I'm sure we'll hear about it later. It's very common. It's just that I find often we don't talk about this part, right? We often only see the good parts and not so much of the real parts.
So, Joanne, I want to know, was that the end of it? Or, like, how did it turn out after you realized that you messed up?
So, I was given a bunch of questions and I was tasked to basically code on the spot, like live. So what I did was I did the best I could. I write down like the things that I could code for them on the spot, and then I just presented my answer. But because I didn't have the time to like run through it or even see if it works, so I just did my best and just answered the questions. So what happened later on was that when I was explaining, I was so nervous. So I was tripping over my words. I was like speaking so quickly. So nobody could understand what I was saying. So I was like, okay, maybe I need to ask for a break. So I actually asked, can I just take a minute to off my camera? Because it was actually a Zoom interview. So I off the camera and just composed myself for a minute. I drank water and I was like, the water is going to save me. Then basically, after that, I went back to explain everything that I could and answered all their questions. So afterwards, the person actually told me that your quotes suck. But I will just end here.
Okay, and what was the outcome of the interview?
Eventually, I got hired, but that took a little bit of a little bit more saving afterwards. Yeah.
Okay. So, what was it that you think that turned the interviews, the interviewer's perception of you around? What made them think, you know, despite messing up, your code sucks, you are actually a potential hire, a good hire?
Okay, so actually, the technical aspect of my role that I was applying for wasn't the main part of the job. So as a business analyst, my job was to be the bridge between my clients and my manager who was interviewing me. So his job was actually more towards the technical aspect. So I actually mentioned that in the interview after I messed up. I said, hey, but by the way, this scope that I know of is actually more of the client-facing role. Hence, even though my technical aspect may not be that good, however, I believe that you are hiring for this role because I can translate what you need to the client. So afterwards, I also try and save and say that actually I can also study before I join your company and just brush up on my technical skills as much as I could.
Wow, wow. Well, Angel, hearing what Joanne is saying, right? She's saying so many good things. You know, from your experience, what was some of the things that she did that was outstanding and that, you know, helped to turn things around?
Yeah, I think it's very evident, right? She didn't just take no for an answer. And she was very clear about the role that she was interviewing for. The technical expertise was not the tier one. It was probably maybe the tier two, nice to have. But the key element was you interfacing with a lot of these clients. You're going to get a lot of these scenarios. So I think it takes, one, a lot of resilience, but also, you know, how you communicated that around. You recognize that, hey, actually, I need to turn my camera around. No, turn it off. I need to take a moment. I'm going to come back. But also being able to have that conversation, I think those are the skills that school don't teach us, right? And being able to do that confidently in very high-stakes interviews, I think that is, like, I would want to hire the person.
Right, yeah, no, I was thinking the same thing as well. No, so right now, Gerald, I feel like it's a good time to pause and just remind everybody that we are taking questions for Gerald, myself, and our guests. For everybody who is seated here, you can scan the QR code behind me. For all of you on the TikTok and YouTube channel, just pump your questions into the comments, and then we'll kind of go through it slowly and one by one.
Yeah, I think we have some questions here.
Yeah, we do have a few questions already, just this early into the conversation. So we have one from a live audience here. How do you handle questions like, this role is a bit junior for you. Why are you interested? Maybe, Angel, you can kind of walk us through how we should navigate this question if we're posed with it.
Okay, so look, when we're interviewing, we typically look at things from just one context, right? We look at it from, how are they going to assess me? So I'll give you a little bit of background context to how hiring teams look at it. So for me, as a hiring manager, if I hire someone who's too junior, the person is, if they find something more senior, they're going to go and I'm going to end up hiring for it from start again. So it's a massive investment and risk from their perspective. So if you, and we typically have a sense, right? I would know whether this role is going to be too junior for me or not. So if you do feel that the role is too junior, it's thinking about how do I need it to land with the hiring manager's perspective? Maybe I can say something like, hey, you know, I recognize that maybe on paper, it looks a little bit more junior, but actually this is a huge building block onto my existing skills. But that said, I'm always open to growth opportunity after I've, you know, gotten really good in my tier one of this delivery. But having that perspective from the hiring manager is what shows a lot of that maturity, I find.
Right. So understanding why the interviewer is asking this question and understanding how you can allay their fears or kind of address what they are thinking.
Yeah.
Right, right. Gerald, we have one more question. Do you want to take this?
Yeah. So this is a good question. It's also coming from the live audience here. It's about salaries, right? That's something that all of us are often thinking about. One of the toughest part is when they talk about salaries, How do we ask for our expected salary range with confidence in a way that could attract the hirer? So I'm going to take this a little bit differently. Joanne, you own a company now. You do hiring as well. So as an employer, when you see someone come for an interview and they talk about salaries, right? What are your expectations for the person interviewing to ask for their salary expectations?
So my perspective comes from being someone that's being interviewed and also interviewing someone. So actually, it takes a lot of courage to ask for your expected salary or something, a range that basically allows you to meet your needs, right? So for me, I hire for like my media production company. So basically, when they come to me with a set of skills which I'm looking out for, I'm willing to pay a certain salary. So I do have a cap in my head. So a range between a minimum to a maximum. So you don't want to underpay your employee because then there's always like the world is better outside. They are constantly looking outwards. Whereas like if you overpay too much, then it becomes like, how do you manage this person? So for me, when the person is able to communicate their needs very clearly as to why they believe that they actually can earn this expected salary, then for me as an employer, I feel willing to accept that number.
I see. So a quick follow-up there. So when should this question be asked? Like, when should they start talking to you about salary? Is it at the beginning of the interview? Is it when they are almost ready to land a job? Like, when is the right time?
I believe it will be towards the end of the interview. So as an interviewer, you are also a person. So when you are interviewing for a job, you can tell whether the hiring manager is actually interested to hire you. So when you see that interest, then that's when you can actually ask for the salary that you want. But if let's say you already see that the person is clearly not interested, and then you go and ask for the salary, I think that just blows the interview a little bit more.
Yeah. Right. So you kind of need to know a few things, right? Your own value. So that comes with like market research and a little bit of finding what other people are offering. And then you also need to know, at that moment, are you proving yourself in this interview, and you can kind of gauge, is this the right time? Okay, now we have one more question from the live audience here. I believe, Joanne, this one will be for you again. Is it ever okay to say, can I take a moment to think about that during an interview? Or is this a sign of weakness? So you did something similar. Do you think that now that you're in an entrepreneur's seat right now, right? You also do some interviews, look at interviewees, and you kind of gauge their response. Do you see that as a sign of weakness, or is this something that you think is fine?
Personally, I think it's fine. Not just because I've done it myself, but because when you need to take some time to answer the question, that shows to me that you are processing and you have something that you want to share. It's just how do you present it, rather than someone that tries to answer my question without any thought. So that shows to me that this person will not be able to basically have that responsibility to say that, hey, I need a moment here just to tell you what it is that I am answering you for. Yeah. So I respect that more than I feel it's a sign of weakness.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so we've gone through a few questions. If you are just tuning in or you just walked into the seat here, we are doing this all the way until the end of the day, and you can pump your questions into the CNA YouTube or TikTok if you are watching this online. But if you're right here, you can actually scan the QR code behind me and you can put your questions in right there. But I'm going to go through some of the questions that we've prepared now. So, Angel, you talked about how interviewees should remember they have power in their hands. This is something that you've talked about before, right? What do you mean by this? Like, is the power in an interviewee's hands actually during an interview?
I think if we're being very realistic, we know that at the end of the day, the organization makes a decision here. But very typically, when we go into interviews, we see it as a one-way direction. I'm here, I'm going to answer questions, and that's the end of it. But if you flip it the other way, I am interviewing an organization the same way they might be interviewing me. If I have a poor experience here, I'm going to know like, hey, you know, this is not for me. When my friends ask about the organization, I might not have the best of words. And from that angle, you will always have, I always believe that we have agency of our careers and we have a choice. And going in with that mindset makes a big difference, because I think we can all agree that people sense energy, right? The energy of I don't really care about the details, but I need the job, versus, hey, could this be a good fit for both of us? So that's where I say a lot of that we have equal power in that situation comes from.
Yeah, I think for many of the people that I've met before, sometimes you go through a series of unsuccessful interviews and that power seems to disappear. You know, before you even go to the office, you go for the next interview, you feel like, oh, is this going to end up the same way? So I think what's really important to take what Angel is telling us here, right, to maybe treat this as a fresh start. You know, maybe this time will be a bit different. You got to leave the past behind so that, you know, you go in and you start to feel like, okay, maybe this time around, things will be different, right? Because, you know, when we go into job interviews, there is always this sense of being judged. So Angel, you know, follow-up question. How do we, what are some quick tips we can take away to help us to reframe our mindset so that we don't feel like we are being judged before we even enter the interview?
And that's very interesting, right? Because when we feel we are judged, the way we speak, the way we share answers, the way we even walk into a room is very different. And actually, there's a very famous research that shows, so they split it into two groups, right? The first group was, all they did was walk into the room and the first 2 minutes, you come with an interview decision. The second group was the interviewers spoke to them for 2 hours and they came to a decision.
2 hours?
I think 20 minutes or two hours, lah, about there. And then, the decision between the 2 minutes and 20 minutes was exactly the same because people already form perceptions of us when we first walk in and when we first interact within the 2 minutes. And guess what happens in the first 2 minutes? How we think of ourselves, how we speak, how we shake our hand, how we connect, how we build trust.
All the introductory questions, all the small talk at the front part of the interview, all that actually matters.
Yes.
Okay. Now, thank you so much for that. Now, we want to get back to some questions that we are getting from our online audience. But once again, just to plug, right? If any of you here have a question, just scan the QR code right behind me. For all of you on TikTok or on YouTube, just pump them into the comment section and we'll get to them shortly. So we have a question from YouTube. The username for this audience member is CrystalBall6794. So what are some questions to avoid asking at an interview? Maybe Joanne, you want to take this one. Are there some questions that you've learned to avoid asking during interviews to make sure that you are representing yourself well?
Actually, I don't really have an answer to that. So I've tried to ask a lot of random questions. And most of the time, like I do that because like it helps me build rapport with the person I'm speaking to. And actually, I do want to say that you do have to see your audience. So for instance, if it's a hiring manager versus your direct manager, the questions may be very different. For instance, you don't ask your direct manager, can you give me a better salary? You would ask that to a hiring manager. So it's a very different type of adaptation, I guess, based on the people that you're actually speaking to. So I don't really have an answer to that. I'm so sorry.
No, that's a good answer. Angel, do you have some thoughts on this? Are there questions that are complete no-nos? You shouldn't be asking this during an interview.
Complete no-nos. Actually, I was going to say, I really agree with what she had said because knowing your audience is so key, right? The type of questions I would ask would be very different. But I think, so I believe that the quality of your question already affects how people think of us and our skills, right? So the no-no is never go without any questions.
Right?
Because what it signals to the other party is, oh, but they didn't even take any effort to prepare questions for us. So that is a big no-no, I would say, not coming with any questions at all.
Okay. No, you know, Gerald, one thing I just thought of is you shouldn't be asking personal questions during an interview, right?
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Like, if I walk into an interview room, am I okay with going like, oh, hey, I kind of like that shirt. Like, that's nice. Where did you get it?
Okay, so I do find sometimes people are trying to build rapport, right? And I might be nervous and be like, oh, that's a really nice shirt. Where do you get it from? But then maybe don't keep digging into it.
Right.
But I think, like, to break the ice, I would still say it's okay. Like, I've had people, when I'm interviewing, ask me that. I think that's fine. But if like you're going to ask like, oh, how many children do you have? What do you need today for lunch and stuff? I 100% agree on that personal part of maybe straight away.
It becomes too personal.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird, a bit personal. So you need to know how much ice exactly to break, right? Talking about that, you know, there's one question here from the live audience here. What if the interviewer is terrible and rude, but I still like and I need the job, right? So Angel, what's your take on that?
That's interesting, Jer. I wonder, from your perspective, what do you think?
I think for me, right, there's a fine line with disrespect. All right, I can need a job, but what if this person is someone I have to work with and I don't sustain in the job? So I've got to think a bit longer term here, right? But, I mean, what are your thoughts? Or even Joanne?
So personally, for me, when I... similarly, I also look at first impressions of the manager. What do they say at the start? How they introduce the company? And basically, whatever questions that they ask me, as long as it's a sound question and it's not like a personal attack, for me, usually I would just answer it with a very neutral position. So even if I do think that this person is rude or is not like someone that I want to work with for the longer term, I'll just try and ace the interview. I'll wait for the offer, then I'll see if I want to join the company. Okay. Yeah. So for me, it's like no discrimination. I'm already there.
Mm. Well, I think one thing to think about also is that if you are the interviewer and you are being rude to the interviewee is just going to think, well, I'm going to have to work with this person. This is the person that I'll be reporting to or is going to be sitting near me from 9 to 6 p.m. every day. Like, that's not something that people will want, right? So it's kind of... Yeah. On your own personal tolerance to be able to accept working with someone like that. Yes.
But having said that as well, we also know that some interviews, they are set up intentionally to provoke you, right?
Oh, wow.
Stress test you a little bit more to see how you react under stress. So I think what Joanne said actually makes quite a lot of sense as well. Treat it with professionalism and see how far that goes. You never know. Maybe that very rude person is actually a really, really nice person.
Yeah, behind the scenes, right? So they're just putting on an act. Anyway, those were from our audience here and from online. So again, if you have questions, just pump them into the chats wherever you're listening from, or you can scan this QR code right behind me. Now, we've been talking a lot about what to do during an interview, right? The kind of top tips to make sure you give a good first impression, you don't offend anyone during the interview. But let's say you walked in and you blanked and you couldn't follow all of this advice, right? Everything that we said just now, just throw it out the window and you're already out of the interview room. Everything's kind of gone poorly. Is that the end of it, or is it still salvageable once you shake the interviewer's hand and say goodbye? Maybe, Angel, you can help us out with this one. Is this something that you've discussed with your clients or any candidates before?
Actually, I've seen both spectrums of things. And sometimes I do think it comes down to the type of role. So I'll give a story, right? We had an instance where someone was making a mid-career switch and she was moving from an operational role to cold calling, leads, sales type of role. And she had put in a lot of effort and prepped for a lot of that case studies. But you know, if you do a lot of these roles, you have like five people on the call listening to you and you're pitching to them. It's a lot of pressure. And when it was time to go live, she completely went blank and she really struggled to do any of it. And they were very kind, actually, the interviewers in that instance as well. They gave her a minute, but she still couldn't. She just, at that moment, it just all went blank. Now, she then left the interview. She sent them a very personal message to apologize for the inconvenience. But what she did in this case was she created a video pitch. She put together a 1-minute video explaining herself and then taking the initiative to give a demo of how she would have done it instead when she was calmer. And they were actually very impressed with her and they agreed to give her a second chance. And she went on to do more roles and she's still part of the interview process, so we're keeping her fingers crossed for her. But you know, it's very similar to Joanne, right? You're not taking no to an answer and you're looking like, okay, what else can I do here?
Okay. Joanne, is this your experience as well? That like it's not over even after the interview's over, like you still have a shot?
I agree, because like for me personally, I like to send a follow-up email, and usually I like to keep a few pointers that they have actually shared during the interview, for instance, on job scope or any additional things that I should take note of, and mention that I would be up to the job basically, because it's a slightly different scope for what I applied for, and then just basically reminding them that, hey, we just took an interview with you. I think just that having that follow-up email is something that not every candidate does. So having that actually helps you stand out. And when people are viewing the different candidates, they will just remember you easier. Yeah, but I'm actually very impressed with the video option.
It seems very high effort, right?
It is. So you have to remember, right, it's part of her role. I don't know whether I would advise everyone to do it, but because her competency that she's being tested on is how are you going to interact with people.
Right. Okay, so it's not over just because the interview's time's up.
Yeah.
You can still prove that you have the chops even after saying goodbye. Okay.
I think we definitely need to try, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Now, Angel, I want to follow up with something. What is the one thing that we should avoid doing right after a bad interview? We've talked about how you can salvage a bad interview, but what shouldn't you do so that you don't make things worse?
I think, you know, after a bad interview, our nervous system is on high alert, right? We're like, I want to do everything here to make sure I fix it. And we might tend to go into the, okay, let me send a lot of emails, let me send a lot of messages, let me keep, because you care, right? You've gone through a lot. And I would think, definitely don't send an email or a message when you're still processing it and it feels very new and fresh. Give it time. I always say sleep on it for a day first and then see how you feel.
Mm, 24 hours.
Yes.
So 24 hours, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So take the time to reset, get out of that high adrenaline moment, and then respond. Don't react, right?
100%.
Okay. Well, we're going to do a last round of taking some questions from the audience here, as well as from all of you watching online. If you're on the CNA YouTube or TikTok watching us right now, pump your questions into the comment section and we'll try to get to it in the little bit of time that we still have. For everyone here, scan the QR code right behind me, and we'll try to get to you. We have one here from the live audience. I attended an interview, and I went 6 rounds, but nothing came out of it. The interviewer didn't inform what is the reason. How do I know how to improve afterwards? Maybe, Angel, what do you tell your candidates or your clients when they have this question for you?
Okay, I'm going to give you all the insider HR secrets a bit, right? So sometimes, okay, first of all, after going through 6 rounds, no one should be in a position where you're not getting any communication from the other party, right? Whether you do 1 round, 6 rounds, we can agree on that. I think the second part of things is if they haven't given an update and it's still early on, we don't want to assume that it's a no-go. Right, because we're there refreshing thinking, but we don't want to make assumptions. The second thing that we can do is say if you have followed up and you've not gotten a response, I always say people are busy people and you don't want to just follow up once. The rule of thumb is you follow up for a max of 3 times in different ways. Maybe the first time you say, had a great experience, wanted to check whether there was any feedback. Second time you say, if you're not the right person, is there someone else that I should speak to? So you see how we're doing different angles. And if you've tried everything and nothing comes through, you can simply ask, hey, you know, it looks like it was not successful this time. As part of my growth journey, is there any feedback that you can give me that helps me improve for next round? So I'm not making it about them or that process. I'm making it about my own growth and what I can get out of it. We can ask, but we can't control whether they give us a response or not. Sometimes just with legalities and different systems or processes that they have internally, they might be limited on what they can or can't share.
Okay. So it's situational, right?
Very much so, yeah. Okay.
So you kind of have to seek clarification, kind of review your own memories of the events that transpire and try and see how you can respond to this in the best way possible to get an answer and to get some sense of how you can do better next time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, you know,
Gerald,
this feels like a good place to wrap our conversation. Thank you both for coming down to Career Forward 2026 here at Suntec. Thank you, all of you here, for being present for this session, for this episode of the Work It podcast. And thank you, all of you tuning in online on CNA's YouTube and TikTok. We love it
that you're here for us and you're here to learn more about how you can turn a bad interview into potentially your next job opportunity. If you missed any part of this entire conversation, you can still catch it on CNA's YouTube. It will be up there, but you can also find it wherever podcasts are available sometime soon. We are on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Me Listen. We're on the CNA webpage. Just search wherever you get your podcast for CNA Work It Podcast and we'll be right there.
So I'm Gerald.
And I'm Ned. And thank you so much for being here at Work It Podcast at Career Forward 2026.